Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Today's scripture reading is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. And it's up here and page 5 in your bulletin. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we worship you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the provider, and we praise you, Lord, for providing for yourself a sacrifice, a lamb. And we pray that you will come now with your spirit upon Dan, that you would give him the words to speak, that you would open our hearts to hear. And I pray that you will be glorified in this service. May your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kimiko, for reading. You know, one of my earliest childhood memories include going to Taekwondo class. And one of the first things that I remember going to Taekwondo is the sparring that would happen during our time. And I think one of the very first trainings that I went to where I sparred, there was this one kid, maybe 2 or 3 years younger than me. He was at least a head shorter than me. For some reason, the master of the Taekwondo Dojo paired me up with him. Seeing that it was one of my first times, I looked at him and I thought, I could take him. Look how short he is, right? Look, I could totally do well, even if it is my second or third time. I wrestled with my older brother. I know what I'm doing, right? And so as the sparring starts, and he says, go, I remember this Matrix moment where as I'm trying to put my weight into a jab, I could just see him just dodge it so flawlessly and give a quick jab, a quick kick to my gut. I don't think I need to say much more to recognize how that match went. See, what I didn't realize is that while he might have been a head shorter than me, while he might have been a few years younger than me, on his waist was a black belt. And little did I know that even though he was younger, that black belt was not just a decoration for kids to wear. It was actually a symbol of qualification. This actually now friend, through weeks and months and years of training, the hours of perfecting his form, the hours of sparring with others, and after all of that being tested by the master himself, he was deemed qualified to wear that black belt. I bring this up because as we look at Genesis 2, we see a different kind of test, but a test nonetheless. God enters into Abraham's life, as we saw throughout the past few weeks, as God has promised Abraham that he would bless his sons, that through Abraham's own son, a multitude of nations will come out of it. And as God has promised that, there has come to this point, as we see in chapter 22, where God is testing Abraham. It is not just a physical test where you break boards or perfect your form or compete in a sparring match, but it is one where God is testing Abraham's underlying motives. He is testing to see what Abraham truly trusts in. And as we look at this now in the 21st century, God is using this to speak to us, to expose our motives. How will we respond when God calls? We'll see this in 2 points. One, trusting in faithfulness. And secondly, trusting in God's provision. You see, Genesis 22 opens up with Abraham's firstborn son, Isaac. Not only after his birth, but Isaac is now grown enough to be a young man. Finally, after years of waiting, Abraham and Sarah have their child. And as we've heard in weeks prior, the child is not just a child to care for and adore. The child was their heir. It was their retirement plan. It was their insurance and overall protection. And so as Abraham and Sarah trusted in God as they left their father's home, as they trusted in God to follow at his call, God followed through with his promises and gave them a son named Isaac. And so all of God's promises hinged on their son Isaac. See, this is the backdrop in which God's test begins. This is the climactic moment of God's call for Abraham as God tests him to give up something very dear to him. It is important to note that God does not actually intend for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, as we see in the broad scope of the passage. But again, as highlighted in verse 1, this is a clear test to see, will Abraham follow God? See, God is not just some crazy, maniacal puppeteer manipulating Abraham to be stuck between a rock and a hard place where he either has to disobey and get in trouble or give up his son, the promise that he was waiting for. See, God was testing to see, is Abraham just out to get God's promises, or is he genuinely trusting in God because he is God? Will Abraham trust in God even when the command is costly? Does he have faith in God that he will listen and be faithful even when things seem so difficult? See, this is the question that we must ask here and now. You know, on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, God has given us his commands clearly through the word of God. The Bible that we read, the passage even as Kimiko read this morning. See, God will not call you to sacrifice your children. This is a specific moment in God's redemptive story where he is working in Abraham. But at the same time, regardless, we recognize that faithfulness isn't always easy. So while we can openly and honestly approach God, as we saw in previous weeks, at the end of the day, when God calls you to live out in faith, how will you respond? For Abraham, after hearing God's command, he obeys, and he begins his journey to the mountain, Mount Moriah. And yet, as we see here, his obedience is not an impulsive decision by any means. You see, it is not like if you've ever received those emails where it says, sale ending today, you have minutes left for this offer. Or it's not like the Amazon deal of the day where you see that clock counting down, you have 10 minutes left to receive this deal. Or it's not even like when you're at the checkout aisle in the grocery store seeing that buy one, get one free. You know, when you look at those things, there is that temptation to see, oh, I need to hurry up and make that decision without even thinking about it. Yet, that is the exact opposite setup for Abraham. You see, as Abraham gathered his supplies and he loaded it onto a donkey, as he was just about to leave, the last thing the author notes here is that he cut the wood for the burnt offering, said in verse 3. Abraham knew exactly what he'd do with them. Even as readers and listeners now, that line is still ringing in our ears as he sets off on a journey for 3 days. As it says in verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. With each step, Abraham had to think about what he was about to do. He heard Isaac calling out to him, "My father, my father." Only to reply, "Here I am, my son." And though he journeyed with two other young men, he had to climb up the mountain alone. That cost of obedience, that length of time, and that isolation weighing down on him with each passing step, with each passing day. What are the moments in your life where following God's commandments are difficult, prolonged, and even lonely? One way that we could see that here, often, especially in this DC metro area, is speaking up against injustice. A lot of times, as you try to speak up and advocate for those who are marginalized and pushed aside, you hear from one end, "You are not speaking hard enough." And on the other hand, you're saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what are you talking about? You are going too far." Maybe speaking up for what God has called and declared good, speaking up against evil in this world, maybe that is that long, difficult, maybe at times lonely process of feeling like you're being attacked from all sides. Maybe it is, on the other sense, as we deal with sexual ethics. In this growing culture, we recognize that the norm that is happening in today's day and age is to be free-flowing, do whatever feels good, enjoy this intimacy outside of marriage. And we could easily buy into that lie and that temptation where everyone around us seems to be giving in. Or even as things get more complex and difficult, we might have to deal with the issues and realities of same-sex attraction, where as we try to be faithful to God's call, it could literally be lonely. It could literally be difficult and prolonged. What are the moments in your life where following God's commands are difficult, prolonged, and lonely? Doesn't even have to be in those big ways. It could even be in the personal battles of sin in our own life as we deal with anger, as we deal with other issues around us, difficulties amongst relationships. How do we remain faithful? Despite these circumstances, Abraham persevered, trusting that God will provide, as he has said in verse 8. And as the author slows down to give a play-by-play view of Abraham's commitment as he bound up Isaac and put him on that altar, as we look at Abraham's faithfulness, God intervenes and God provides. God provides. And just as God called out to Abraham in the beginning when he says, Abraham, he calls out again in verses 11 through 12, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In that moment, God provided a substitute for Isaac, a ram caught in the thicket. See, this ram took Isaac's place on the altar, and so Isaac was saved. God's promises are again confirmed, and so now both Abraham and Isaac were able to return home. This testing of Abraham is unique, and it is a special moment in God's story of redemption, not only because Isaac was the great-great-great-grandfather of our Savior Jesus, but also because it presents a picture of God's faithfulness to us and the ultimate provision he gives for us through his son, his only son. A millennia later, Jesus, he was the one who was tested on this earth. In the climactic moment of redemption, Jesus silently carried the wooden cross on his back and obeyed even to the point of death on our behalf. We were the ones spared by God. And Jesus was the one who took our place. And by his death and resurrection, we are finally made new. Our hearts are restored so that now by faith, we can faithfully follow God through the power of his Spirit. So how do we receive this provision and forgiveness? While it is tempting to think, maybe it is by our own efforts. Maybe we have to be faithful, just like how Abraham obeyed to the end. Maybe we need to do that too. But friends, I have a greater message for you. This provision of forgiveness and grace, it is not given to us because we have done something to earn it. It is not because we have walked all the way ourselves, but it is because Jesus Christ himself walked in our place. That belt of approval, of worthiness, is now given to us. We are clothed by Jesus' belt of righteousness by faith, by trusting in the fact that he walked the walk that we could never walk ourselves. We are provided for once and for all because of his sacrifice. But God's provision does not just end there. Just as much as God provides for us in an ultimate sense, he does not leave us high and dry in the day-to-day of life. We never graduate from God's continual care in the journey of faithfulness. We have hope as Christians because unlike Abraham, we will never have to walk alone in isolation. God has not just called us as individuals, but as a community of believers, so that now we have people by our sides, brothers and sisters who know us, who can know us intimately, our struggles, the things that we fear and wrestle with and are tempted by. And he calls us to walk together as a community. In your relationships here at Mosaic Silver Spring, whether through your connections that you have already or even through community groups, the primary vehicle that we use as a church to get to know one another, we have the opportunity to give of ourselves. You have the opportunity to give of yourself, both by sharing vulnerably yourself and by listening and caring for others who need that same ear. More than that, we have the hope. We have the promise that God himself will never leave us. Why? Because his Spirit now dwells in you. As you wrestle with the difficulties of faithfulness, as you are bombarded by the world around you that tells you what many different things that are good, we have hope that God is here with us, encouraging us, strengthening us, guiding us through his word and by his spirit, so that as we walk this journey of faith, we can trust in his promises and by faith walk faithfully in response, not to earn God's approval, not to say that we have earned this medal, this belt for ourselves, but because Jesus has done all that we have needed. And by faith, we are fully welcomed in into his family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that, God, we could not walk that walk ourselves. Lord, even as Jeremy confessed earlier, many times we are completely opposing your will. Yet despite this, God, you have come down. You have entered in. You have taken on the test upon yourself, and you have given up your life. You have spared us. You have not spared us, your son, so that by faith we could be yours. God, I pray that this can be a great encouragement to us, that as we work through the difficulties of life together as a community, I pray, God, that as we walk through that together, that you be with us, that you strengthen us, and you guide us home. In your name we pray. Amen.